Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life. My name is Joe Cole, and this is my podcast where I talk to different millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood.
Oh, I'm a tired boy. I'm sorry.
Oh, that is very unprofessional of me as a broadcaster. I'm sorry, though. I'm tired. I just got back from the city. I'm going again tomorrow for a drunk driving public service announcement audition. And, you know, I think I'm going to pass on doing some type of method acting preparation for that. You know, doing things in real life that help you in the audition. That probably wouldn't be a good idea. But today on the show, we have Cameron Shapiro, who, again, is another person that I befriended in an improv class. He was in the same class as me and my most recent guest, Evan, or my most recent guest, Evan, and I don't know grammar. We were all in the same class, Evan, Cameron, and me, and that class actually just ended. We had our final performance, and he's just another person who, like Evan and myself, have creative and comedic aspirations and are just working part-time in the service industry. He in Brooklyn, while simultaneously taking classes and writing, and he's actually going back to school for musical theater, which you'll hear him talk about. But it was kind of the story of Cameron's first 22 to 23 years of his life and how he got to where he is now that is really the interesting part of the conversation we have. He had an atypical college experience and one much different than a lot of the other guests I've had on, and you know, had a somewhat non-traditional youth and family situation. But I don't want to give too much away, but it was nice to talk to another person who is pursuing creative things. Even though, you know, at certain points of this conversation, Cameron and I may have had a different, you know, perception of our own capability to, or you know, or just anyone's general capability to find success in show business. You know, I sort of spoke to how hard it is and that there are a lot of talented people who are pursuing acting and comedy and the entertainment industry and other things related to that. And I'm not saying that, you know, Cameron had a distorted perception of how difficult it is to break into that kind of stuff, but I'm not, he exuded a bit more confidence and self-assuredness in his abilities and the potential for future success. And to some people that may come off as cockiness or arrogance, but to me, I was the one sitting in the room with him, it came off as, you know, confidence, which is an important thing to have. And that makes me think of this thing I've heard about this weird paradox regarding the ridiculousness of what it takes to find success as an actor, which is that you need to have all this confidence and also be really passionate about wanting to find success. And in an audition, you need to give off the impression that you have those attributes, but also equally give off the impression that you give no fucks. Like, most of the time in auditions, it's better if you just seem relaxed and like it's not even a big deal, like you don't even care, but it's just another, you know, audition. But in order to make it in something as competitive as acting, you need to care a lot and work really hard. So there's this, you know, this inherent contradiction. So Cameron, you know, he helped me to realize the importance of confidence in what you have to offer and the importance of having a positive mentality about your personal potential. And you know, it speaks to other things I've talked about in the past, about not dreading on the more difficult parts of a situation or process. You know, obviously you need to acknowledge the full scope of a situation, including the risks of failure, in order to not fail. But, you know, still, you need to have confidence in yourself because it will make you better, I think. No, it will. So, I hope you like this conversation. No, you know what? I know you'll like this conversation. You're gonna fucking love it. You're gonna love it. It's gonna be great. The best conversation you've ever heard. People write songs about it, and it's gonna, you know, change lives. That was hard. That was also a lie. I don't think it's that good. No, it's that good. Confidence. All right, here's Cameron Shapiro.
Thank you.
That's good. Just like I usually just like I do like
oh,
that.
Oh, you move it around.
Yeah, you can just. That's what these are great for. You can just. How much did all this cost me? I've never said that on the podcast, but you know what? There may be people who have listened to the podcast who want to start one. These are Shure SM7B microphones.
We started?
Yeah, we have started.
Oh, okay.
These are Shure SM7B microphones. These are the standard radio mic. Mark Maron uses these. Joe Rogan uses these. They're $350 a piece.
Wow.
I have three. I have three of them.
Can I curse?
Yes.
Okay. Holy shit balls.
This is an Apogee Quartet. It is an interface which connects the microphone to the computer. I used to have the Apogee Duet, which only you can only do two microphones.
Mm.
Now I have the Quartet, and you could do four, but I only have three microphones, so three. This was over $1,000. I'll say that.
Are you kidding me?
No. This is the best like quality interface you can get. The reason I did that is because I have very minimal audio production.
Is this a mixer? Is that what that is?
It's kind of a mixer.
Okay.
But not really. It replaces a mixer. But I have very minimal audio production experience. So I was like, why don't I get the best microphones and the best interface possible so I can get the best sound because I don't know how to do it.
Your podcast sounds just as good as any of like those famous podcasts
good.
Out there.
That's good. And then I just use like an online editing
regular
software.
Pete Holmes.
Yeah, except less tall.
Tall.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something. I was going to say religious, but he isn't as religious anymore.
Yeah, when I worked at the Improv and he did a weekend.
You worked at the Improv?
In West Palm. Yeah.
Where is that?
In Florida.
Oh, there's an Improv everywhere now.
Yeah, no, there's a bunch of Improvs.
Yeah.
It's the same guy, Joel Bashkoff, owns like a bunch of them.
Right. You know? Bud Freeman started them. Right?
Oh, I did not know that.
Mm.
But
that's a good WTF. You should listen to that one.
Okay.
He talks about
But he owns like six or six. He owns like the Florida ones and like the Arizona ones.
Oh.
And those are the big ones, like Tempe and Phoenix and Tucson, I think.
When did you work there?
The year before. That's when. All right. Do you want to start from the beginning?
Just let me.
Like, no. I meant like I start from me, what led me to work
let
there.
Let me be in charge of that. But sure. What led you to work
okay,
there?
Okay, that's what I was getting at. So like I.
Don't worry about what I'm doing.
I saw Brian Callen there.
Yep.
And like for my girlfriend's birthday, we went.
When was this?
This was in like 2014. This was in like July of 2014.
Right.
And I decided, I was like, I fucking love this place. I want to work here.
Right.
And this, I was much bigger. I was like 225 and like all muscle.
You were bigger than you are now?
Oh, yeah. Like 25 pounds bigger.
Wow.
Yeah. But still very lean. But I'll be a bouncer.
You can't tell by people listening, but Cameron is a muscular fellow. So wait, what are you, like 205 now?
195.
Wow. You are bigger. You are much bigger.
Much bigger.
What? How do you get even any bigger than you are already?
Well, because I was eating like four or five meals a day of just like tilapia, grilled chicken, like the classic bodybuilder.
I heard tilapia is bad.
Depends. Like if you can
not get... bad like fat wise, but I heard there's like some weird thing.
It's like farm grown tilapia is really bad. Because like you have to like they keep them in those little like fisheries, and so there's like a million of them in this little like horse
shit
trough.
Shit on each other.
Yeah,
it's that's the terrible. Same thing with chickens.
Yeah,
that's why I can eat the free range chicken.
I don't think they're white in the wild, like, and they're white in farms, which is gross. So I would eat that diet, and I was huge, and I was like, at the time, I was like, just way too into weightlifting, and like, eventually I was just like I can't talk to meatheads at the gym, so that's like what really led me away from that, where I was
lifestyle.
Just like I'm never gonna be a bodybuilder.
It's so tedious too.
It's too much. It's
and I'm like somewhat in it now because like I've been on like a health spurt the past few years, and it's just like I've thought about taking the next step of like really being into it. It's like
that.
You have no fun.
You have to take steroids.
You have no fun. Well, not even
be
just
competitive.
I'm not even to compete. I'm just saying, like in terms of just.
No, I get what you're saying, but yeah.
So wait, so then that you
so
got a job
a,
at the Improv?
Yeah, so I was like, I'm gonna be a bouncer. So I applied, and like interview went really well.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck yeah, I got the job.
Yeah.
And I was pumped. And, like, my first weekend was a sold-out. You know who Nephew Tommy is?
No.
he's Steve Harvey's actual nephew, and that's why they call him Nephew Tommy. Okay. But he's like on his like morning radio show with him, and he's like basically like next in line to be Steve Harvey. So he did like 5 sold out shows at the Improv
Just
rowdy urban crowds, as they called them.
Mm-hmm.
And like even the 5th show, like the mayor of Riviera Beach showed up and gave him a key to the city on stage. It was wild.
Wow.
And that place held like 600 people.
So when was this?
This was from like July of 2014 until August of 20, or like August 1st was my last day there.
So like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And like that was when I was super into comedy. Like we had a great run there. Like, and within a few months, 1 2-week span was like Mike Birbiglia on a Wednesday.
Right.
Bill Burr, 2 shows on a Friday.
Right.
Hannibal Buress on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's awesome.
And
it's a good room, I guess.
Yeah.
So you saw all those people? Or were you?
Yeah, like I got to talk to them after the shows.
No way.
Yeah. That was my favorite part. I got to talk to Bill Burr for like 10 minutes.
No way. What'd you talk about?
We talked about the Bruins.
Right.
Obviously. I have a Bruins tattoo on my left shoulder.
That you just pointed to?
Yeah. talked about the Bruins. We talked about, because like Bill Burr's thing is like, he does every year, he'll go to like a big rivalry college football game. So whatever city that's
in.
He goes and does like a night in that city. Right. So it was Florida State, Miami in Miami. Uh-huh. So he did a night at the Improv.
Mm.
Just 2 shows sold out like months in advance.
Mm.
But we talked about Florida State, Miami. We talked about the Bruins. We talked about like comedy.
Yeah.
And how like, we actually talked about like chasing dreams, and that was like one of the first times that I was inspired to like, I gotta get out of here. Like, I'm not gonna ever amount to anything in Florida.
Right. So yeah, well, explain to me. You have a Patriots hat on.
Yes.
You have a Bruins tattoo. You're in Florida.
Oh,
how did that all happen? Where were you born?
People, this. I was conceived in Boston.
You were conceived in Boston.
Yes.
By who? Your parents.
My parents.
Okay. Were they from Boston?
Yes, my dad is from Boston. My mom is from Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay.
And my mom moved up there for like a boyfriend, I want to say, like a few years before like the whole me thing came along. And then she met my dad, like they were both bartending, ironically. I'm a bartender now.
Yeah.
She met my dad bartending, and they like hit it off, I guess. And then like I was clearly a mistake because my dad was 26, my mom was 28.
Right.
So
the conception of you was out of wedlock.
Definitely.
Okay.
They never got married.
I don't even know if
that's why I have my mom's last name, because my parents never got married. Like they were together off and on like my entire childhood into adulthood.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, because I was going to talk to you, I didn't know how to write your name.
Go for it.
but I'm saying like when I type your name for the podcast or this.
Yeah, because I'm my dad's last.
You go by Cameron Shapiro?
I go by Cameron Shapiro.
That's your dad's last
for
name?
For now. No, that's my mom's last name.
Oh, wow.
But on Facebook, I have it as Cameron Pomeroy, which is my dad's last name.
Right.
And I'm changing it to that last name because if I don't, the name dies with my dad. And they have this like big, huge like lineage of like Pomeroys. And like wow. I trace their, like one time on Ancestry.com, I traced their lineage all the way back to like medieval England.
Right.
Yeah. And like I'm pretty sure they came over on the Mayflower.
Pomeroy.
At least that's how it looked. Like,
yeah.
Like how it broke down.
Uh-huh.
So, and did they were in Massachusetts like ever since.
Did your dad like give you shit?
Like no, saying, not at all. It was kind of me who stumbled upon it and like thinking like I'm like my dad's the last Pomeroy. So if he dies and I don't change my name, the name dies with him.
Does your mom see that as some type of?
No, my mom gets it. Like she's fine with it because there's a bunch of Shapiros. I mean, it's a pretty common Jewish last name. Yeah.
So your mom goes to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
They bartend together. Right, they conceive you.
Yes.
Accident.
Yes. My mom moves to Florida
when she finds out she's pregnant.
A little bit after.
Okay.
To be like with her family.
Had she told your father at that point?
And I guess like I don't know the exact story, but like then my dad like they weren't sure if they were gonna like be together, and then so then like my dad moved down or like visited down here to see if it could work out.
To Florida.
And he thought it could work out, so he moved down here. And then they were together, like, off and on, had, like, a really rocky thing.
Yeah.
And
Tried to make it work, but it didn't.
Tried to make it work, it didn't.
So where's your dad at now? Did he go back to Boston?
No, he's in West Palm still. Wow. In Lake Worth. And my mom is also.
Wow.
Yeah.
So for the first few years of your life, you were just with your mom?
Yes and no. Like, her and my dad were off and on then a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I don't remember because I was two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were off and on a lot. But, like, yeah, up until I was, I don't know. Like, I don't know the exact time.
I guess the question I have is just throughout your childhood, like, did you kind of confront this difference that you, like, you did you realize, like, oh, I'm in a different situation than everyone else? And what was, like, evolution of, like, how you emotionally felt about
it? Yeah, I kind of did, but, like, I just compartmentalized things really well. Like, it didn't affect me at all. Like,
yeah.
And I've just seen some, like, terrible stuff between them, and, like, it's still, like, it doesn't affect me at all. Like, I don't know what it is. I just, terrible things don't affect me that much.
Yeah. You can look at what, like, the importance of everything is. Like,
yeah. And so, like, that's why, like, I don't have pity for people who are like, oh, my parents are getting divorced.
Right.
Like, oh, you poor fucking baby.
Well, with that sometimes comes neglect, and doesn't sound like your dad.
No, I wasn't neglected.
So, like,
no.
So that's what sometimes when they get divorced means he's gone. So that's maybe what can sometimes cause a bit of emotion.
Yeah, and, like, it was rough between me and my dad when I was, like, a teenager, when I was, like, hitting puberty.
Right.
And we just, like, fought all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he was usually there for me.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, it's good.
So what was growing up in Florida like? I hear that place is, like, its own.
Yeah, it's like another country.
It's like, I hear from Mark Maron talks about Florida a lot, and he says it's just like a...
Yeah,
like
Rogan talks about it too. It's like a bunch of savages down there.
It's just like another country.
Yes.
What was... Where did you grow up in Florida?
Like, I grew up in, like, Delray and Boynton Beach, which are, like, two towns across from each other.
Where in relation to, like, notable things?
Like 45 minutes north of Fort Lauderdale, like an hour-ish north of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I grew up playing a lot of baseball, playing a lot of sports.
Mm.
I had hardcore ADHD growing up.
Like, really?
You could tell right off the bat.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I was...
You still?
Yeah. I mean, it never technically goes... No. It never technically goes away. But, like, when I was six, I was diagnosed.
Wow.
And took, like, started off with, like, Ritalin and then went to, like, Concerta and Adderall till I was 19. And then in 19, when I was at Florida State, I decided to just take myself off of it because I had just done... Because it's like an appetite suppressant. So
yep.
My whole life growing up, I was skinny. Tiny. Like, always. I was so late on puberty that I had to take human growth hormone.
No way.
Yeah.
When? What age was that? What age was the doctor like?
I puberty until I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what is that? So, like, no pubic hair till 16? No,
nope. Just a dry bush.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of you on Facebook. You were scrawny.
Yeah, no. Like, my bone age was, like, 4 years delayed. And I think it's because of the medication. Like, we're not sure what, because my dad was a late bloomer, too, and I don't know if my mom was, but, like, I was, like, 4 years delayed, so, like, we got to speed this up, or he's not going to hit puberty till he's, like, 20.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I had to take human growth hormone, and then from, like, 10th grade, I was, like, 10th grade ended, I was, like, 5'2", and then, like, 11th grade started, I was, like, 5'9".
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I came back, and everyone was, like, where'd short Cameron go?
Yeah,
where'd little Cameron go? Who's this tall, lanky motherfucker?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I was always just really sensitive about, like, how small I was, and get picked on a lot, and just used to fight constantly in elementary school.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard you say that the bullying was, like, a big reason as to why you decided to try to get big.
Bulk up, yeah. No, definitely, because, like, it's like a deep rooted insecurity that, like,
bullying's
I couldn't shake
worst,
if I want
it?
To.
Yes.
But I think out of bullying comes greatness.
Yeah, like, well, Chris Rock has a great bit. He's like, we need bullying.
Exactly.
Who's gonna cure AIDS? Someone
exactly.
who got bullied.
I was writing a joke the other day and I was like, I can't wait to see how soft this generation is now that bullying is equal to rape in some people's minds.
Yeah, well,
but I think bullying creates greatness. Like
yeah.
Like, nobody's born and lives this, like, cushy life and then becomes something great.
Mm, like, very few people.
Yeah, no, it's very, very rare.
Well, some people can be born rich and just stay rich.
Yeah, well, obviously. Well, like Donald Trump, but
or like Lawrence Kasdan's kid, Jake Kasdan, is a movie director, and like you would think that the Lawrence Kasdan, the writer of Star Wars, like his kids would come out fucked up, but like not Jake Kasdan.
Well, like, but like also like a lot of fucked up childhoods are what makes greatness.
Yeah,
like. I want to say it was Stephen Colbert, whose like dad and brothers died in a plane crash.
Yeah. His dad and several brothers.
Yeah, like two or three brothers.
Yeah, I've talked about that on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And he said that like after that, like everything kind
of. Yeah, everything changed.
Yeah, because he experienced the worst thing. So everything
else. Yeah, he's like what's going to, nothing's going to get worse than this.
Yeah. So everything else kind of seemed like really easy.
Yeah.
Just like making people laugh and like he looked at everything through a humorous eye. He's like, this is just all like a one big joke. Like,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I've talked about that a lot too, coming from nothing. And then.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be like, I think I'd be a much softer person if I hadn't been bullied as a kid.
Yeah. What type, what was the, how did the bully, like what specifically happened to you?
Just because I was scrawny and very short, people would just constantly push me or like make fun of me because I was small.
Right.
And I used to have like just like a really, really short temper, and I would just go right to fisticuffs.
Really?
Yes.
Drop the, you drop the gloves right away?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my go-to.
Wow. I got bullied too, but I would never, I was big pussy.
I was a big fighter.
I remember there was one day we had hat day in school, and I wore like one of those tall like Dr. Seuss hats. Some kid pulled it down over my face from behind me and smacked me across the face. I just sat there crying, I'm pretty sure. Remember that kid?
Probably deserved it.
I ended up, no. I ended up like being kind of like enemies with that kid my whole rest of my childhood, but.
Now you guys are best friends.
No.
And his name is your brother.
No. Not my brother, but we got. My brother punched me in the face once.
Yeah, I heard that. On
oh, yeah, he
podcast.
Punched me in the temple. Yeah.
You're like, and that was the first time I knew what a temple was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you listened to the episode of my brother, yeah.
Yeah. But no, that was like, allegedly, I want to say when I was like 5 or 6, this kid kept picking on me. He was like a full head taller than me.
Yeah.
And I just knocked him out cold.
No way.
Just one punch. I don't really remember this, but like, it's just pretty impressive that a 5 or 6-year-old had that punching power.
Yeah. The capability of actually knocking someone out cold.
Yeah.
A lot of harbored up anger.
Oh, yeah.
Was that, what is that from? Was it just.
Well, my dad, like, has a lot of, like, anger issues, too.
Yeah.
That's for sure what it's from.
Yeah.
But, like, just, like, always being picked on.
You don't remember being angry about anything other than that you were getting picked on? It wasn't anything else, really. It was just a call and response type thing of, like,
yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Like, stop making fun of me.
So, did you not go to college?
I went to Florida State.
For 4 years? Graduated?
For 2 years.
And then you dropped out?
Yeah.
All right.
Because I dropped out / grades were terrible. And
really?
I leave. Because, like, for me, and it took me until I was, like, 23 to realize this. Like, because I have ADHD, like, it's really tough for me to put effort forth in something I don't care about.
Right.
So, school.
Right.
Like, I was great in school. I got straight A's until, like, the end of 6th grade. Mm-hmm. And 7th grade started, and something happened where I was just like, I don't give a fuck about school.
Right, yeah.
And so, like, I just never cared anymore. And, like, I could always do, like, really well on tests, like, standardized tests, like SATs and things that. And just do way better than my grades suggested I should be doing.
Yeah.
But I just, like, could not care less about school. Yeah. I hated school. And so, like, I was at Florida State, and I kind of just floated around. Like, I was 2 years of an exploratory major.
Really?
Yeah.
What just does that mean?
Had no, it's like,
oh,
an
it's
undecided,
like undecided
major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you went after high school, were you like psyched to go to college, or did you?
Yeah, it was, because like I didn't even think I was going to get in because my grades weren't great.
Yeah.
But like my weighted GPA apparently was very good, and my test scores were very good.
Yeah.
And so I got into Florida State, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Yeah. I was most excited for college football.
Big fucking school, man.
Yeah. No, it's
how many do you know? How many undergrad that is?
I want to say 50,000.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's a big school. But I went to a huge high school.
Yeah.
My high school, I want to say like when I entered high school, it was 3,600 people.
No way.
Yeah.
I had 800 people.
Yeah. We had 800 in our graduating class.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's people in your high school, in your grade
that
you
I've never,
never
ever seen. Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I went to Florida State and I was
so
pumped.
You were used to being like
yeah,
big
little
pond,
fish
little
pond. Yeah. And so, like, I guess that's probably another reason I moved to New York. It's just what I'm right. used to. Yeah. And, but like, I just did terrible in school. Like, I didn't even like try. I wouldn't do homework. Yeah, I wouldn't go to class. I was just like, man, whatever.
At college too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, in high school I went to class. Like, yeah. But college I was just like, oh, I'd rather sleep.
Well, was it all college, like big class with no attendance? Like, it didn't matter. You just show up if you want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, a lot of it was.
It was just all tests.
I would only show up to the classes I needed to.
Yeah.
And then be like, no, that's fine. At the end, I'll just pick up a textbook and I'll just ace this final.
Never happened.
Never happened. I always waited way too long.
So,
and I would pick up the textbook and be like, oh, I'm fucked.
So at what point did you start think, or did it start looking like I probably have to leave this place? Or it's probably going to...
After my like third or fourth semester.
Was it equally you don't want to be there and you can't come back? Or was it... Could you?
Yeah, it was equally.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have if I really, really tried my last semester, but I didn't.
But you're just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
So then...
And my girlfriend was up there, too. That was the worst part of it. Like, she is a year younger than me,
mm-hmm.
and she went to Florida State also.
Mm-hmm. When did you start dating her?
My senior year.
Of high school?
Yeah.
Did you go to the same high school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she got up there the year after me, and we only had like a year together there, and then I left, and she was pissed.
Right, yeah.
Because she was going to go to Virginia Tech if it wasn't for me being at Florida State.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't Virginia Tech, like, really easy to get? No, I'm thinking of University of Virginia.
No, Virginia Tech is much easier to get in. It's not, like, easy, but it's not, like, UVA is, like, a top 10 school.
What was the school I'm thinking about that they literally accept everyone?
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. West Virginia, you only need, like, a 2.5 GPA.
Yeah.
And Florida State's that's, like, when people tell me, like, oh, yeah, man, I went to a big party school. And I was like, oh, where'd you go? They're like, oh, Stony Brook. And I was like, oh, never heard of it. Florida State. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
True. But like,
the college I went to was rated the number one party school in Connecticut.
Oh, nice. We were number one in the country.
No way.
Yeah.
I thought West Virginia was.
It's up there, but yeah, it's not. It's every year, it's
fucking
differs
Florida.
Between Florida State and Arizona State.
Mm.
And so.
So what was the party? What was it like? Like what?
The party scene though, like it's a huge party school, but it's more so like the Greek life aspect of it is where the partying is at. And I just wasn't into it.
Yeah.
Just like, and that's funny because like in improv class, when we all talked about like a bunch of guys were in frats.
I was in a fraternity.
You were in a fraternity. Sorry.
Yeah. Damn right. You better say that.
You were in one.
Negative, I think, stigma that's
like a few other guys, like
culture,
like Matt, Evan,
right?
They were in fraternities, and they were. I was like, oh, I'm not in a fraternity. I wasn't in a fraternity. They're like, of everybody in this class, I would have thought you would be in a fraternity. And I was like, okay,
yeah.
How
is that supposed to make me feel?
Yeah, I was like, am I a douchebag?
I don't think you're a douchebag. No, maybe you just
thank you. I like, well, that's because like
anyone who's muscular, people just
at UCB, like Eddie B talked about, like, he was like, you know, everyone looks like a certain way at UCB. And then like you came in, I'm like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, he's some muscular guy. He's like, he's got this long hair. He's like, I was like, I'm just here to improv.
Yeah. I've been afraid of that too. Of like when I got in better shape, I was like, if I'm trying to pursue comedy.
Like, yeah, that's
comedy, like, wasn't even necessarily what I was pursuing. I was more pursuing just anything on camera.
Yeah, that's like that joke in Funny People. Like,
yeah, no one wants to see Lance Armstrong doing
comedy.
And there's a thing of like, if you're kind of a little heavier, you're like a little more approachable to an audience member because you
more like
an every man.
A jacked, good-looking guy isn't going to be relatable on stage. You're just gonna be like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, so that's what I was like. Maybe I should just like not.
Yeah. But, like, I think it's good for, like...
But then at the other time, you look shitty on camera.
Yeah, but, like, movie stars aren't ugly, so...
Yeah,
I mean, they're supposed to be good-looking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. So, Florida State...
So,
left.
So you left, and then...
And then, like, I just had 3 years of squandering, where, like, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life.
How old were you when you left? 20?
I was just about to turn 20.
So, when it was looking like you were about to leave, were you like, oh, no? Or were you like...
Not really. I was just kind of in the mindset of, like, I'll go home, I'll take classes at the community college, and I'll figure it out from there.
Right.
And then, like, I'll get my AA, like, equivalent of an AA, and I'll transfer.
What's an AA?
your associated
fucking,
it's like the 2-year degree.
Oh, right, right, right.
Like you get,
then you can transfer somewhere.
Yeah, then you can transfer wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, and then like I did that and like I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
Like I was at the community college and be like, I don't think I've ever been this miserable.
Right.
And then I was just realizing like, it, like I said, it took me till 23 to realize that I'm only great at things I'm passionate about. Like
right.
if I'm passionate about it, I throw everything I've possibly got at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't care about it, you'd be shocked if I tried at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, so I took class at the community college and then there was just like 3 years of like, just like working jobs and just like not knowing
in
what
Florida.
The fuck I wanted to do.
So how long did you do all 2 years of the community college and got the AA?
God, not at all. I did like 3 semesters, but like off and on. And I just failed a bunch of classes.
Wow.
Because like, I just couldn't
What are your
like,
parents
care.
Thinking at this
parents
point?
Parents were pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
No
because,
way.
Like, because like you're such an intelligent kid.
Yeah.
But like, you don't put forth any effort
yeah,
at all.
And I'm I was not, like, I'm lazy. I always just think most creative people are lazy. So
yeah, they are. Lazy. Exactly. Like I read an article about how like geniuses are messy. And it was like one of my favorite articles to send to people because well, I'm messy.
Geniuses are messy. Doesn't mean if you're
doesn't
messy,
mean if you're messy, you're a genius, but
let's see still. Yeah. But to be honest, dude, most geniuses still have to work really hard to.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, most.
So
what is your reaction to your parents when they're are they up on your shit? Are they
oh yeah, they're all over
quietly. Like,
you gotta get it together, you gotta go to a trade school, you have to do something.
What are you
saying? And like it's weird because in Florida, like and the people I was around had it in my head that like if you don't have life figured out by 21, you're a fucking loser.
Right.
And like for some reason I had that in my head. And I still do to a point
yeah.
of like if I don't make it by 25 and I'm 24 now,
yeah.
I'm going to be really, really disappointed in myself.
Yeah.
And I still think that.
Yeah.
But like I'm doing all the necessary steps to ensure that I will have at least a chance.
Bradley Cooper didn't get his first professional acting gig till he was like 30.
About Jon Hamm.
Jon Hamm,
yeah,
much later.
44?
He's yeah. crazy.
But
Mad Men was 44.
Yeah, Mad Men was 44.
He did like guest spots.
But that's when he broke.
Yeah.
So I just had no idea what I wanted to do. And then like, I was just kind of squandering through life. And like, I started working at the Improv and I was like, boy, I'd love to do stand up. But like, I just was too lazy to pursue stand up because right. like stand up, it's not good to start it in Florida. Like I know this kid, Matt Bellick, who's like an opener and he's fucking hilarious. He's funnier than like a lot of the features, funnier than some of the headliners. He's going to be big one day.
Mm-hmm.
And he just moved back to Chicago. And he was going to move here, but I haven't talked to him since, so I don't know why he moved to Chicago over New York. I just know he's from there.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about like how there are these delusional comics in Florida that think like they're going to make Miami or South Florida like the next big comedy scene.
That's every town.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to be the next New York or LA or Chicago. Yeah. Like, the fuck, you're not.
Yeah.
No, like you think you're gonna pull in an industry?
Yeah. I heard Dallas and actually Minneapolis
I hear is good,
big too, yeah.
But like, yeah. So like, I knew that I wasn't gonna be able to pursue stand up in Florida. Like, I just knew that like, unless I was somewhere else, that wasn't really gonna happen. And so I'm working at the Improv a lot. And then
when did you start working at Improv after?
Yeah, this was in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm working at the Improv, making dick money.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of dick money.
Dick money is means $9 an hour. and so...
A little more than ball money, though.
Yeah, it's like right above the ball money. and so I'm working there, and then like I was like, I really want to pursue comedy, though. Like, and then
was
SNL
it comedy?
40
was
happened.
It? Oh, wow.
That's what changed everything for me. Like, and I didn't think it would. Like, I remember, like, I didn't watch it live, and people were like, oh, you gotta watch it. It's awesome. And then I watched, like, 3 days later, I, like, sat down and watched it and was, like, saw all these great, like, hilarious people in the same room
Maybe
together.
The funniest
and they all,
thing.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. And I was just like, this is what I'm gonna do. Like, I can do this. I know I can do this. Right. Like, if I wasn't a funny person and thought I could do this, and obviously that would be a stupid thing to say, but, like, I was like, I can do this. I know I can do this. So
what is this?
Comedy. Like, yeah. Sketch comedy.
Yeah.
So, and I had known about the UCB because Everything started to change when I found podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Burr's was the first one I ever listened to, mm-hmm. which was like
Monday morning.
Yeah, the old MM, MMP.
Is that what it is?
Monday morning podcast.
Yeah.
Or the old Monday morning, right before Thursday afternoon, yeah. Monday yeah. morning podcast, or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
And so, like, podcasts started to change my life, and I started to listen to Joe Rogan a lot. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of, like, opened up, because I was very close-minded at that point for some reason. Like, I was kind of, like, in, like, a woe-is-me state for, like, a few years. Mm-hmm. And so it opened up my mind, and I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Your woe is me state, meaning like you
like
look down on yourself for like not having myself. Anything yeah, yeah. figured out. And then it kind of like turned you off from like expanding yeah. your mind to other things.
Exactly.
Kind of paralyzed you, secluded you.
And so what happened was SNL 40 rolled around. And I was like, I can fucking do this. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to do UCB. Like, I can do this. Like, I have family up north, you know, worst case scenario, I crash with them. My best friend, Taylor, is, funny enough, my girlfriend's cousin. But I knew him before I knew her.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been boys ever since we played lacrosse together in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Navy. he's on a sub right now, deployed.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but he was like, it was February 15th, SNL 40 was. And I only know this for a specific reason.
Yeah.
Because, a few months went by and I kept saying.
2016 it was?
2015.
Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, it was a while ago, yeah.
So, and I kept saying, I was like, I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to do UCB. I'm going to do it. I'm going to move up there and I'm going to do UCB in acting. I'm going to do it. And then, like, I kept saying it. And then for a while I was going to be like, am I going to be one of those people who just says they're going to do things and then never does them? Like every fucking person I know.
It was a great thing I heard Sarah Silverman say. Actually, I heard Jerry Seinfeld tell it that.
And comedians and cars getting
caught. Yeah, that Sarah Silverman said. She's like, I hate when people say, you know, I think I'm going to. No, you're never going
to
do it.
Exactly. You have to. And yeah. So like, I was
once
like.
Once you say, I think I'm probably. No, no, you're not.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm fucking doing this.
Yeah.
August 15th rolls around,
mm-hmm.
or August 1st rolls around. I'm like, I walked into work and like, I hadn't had any plans and I walked
this
into work.
Improv still?
Yeah. I walked into the improv and I was like, this is my 2 weeks notice. I'm quitting.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? And I was like, I'm going to pursue comedy in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to do it. Like I can't just say I'm going to do it. I've got to do it. So mm-hmm. I told her and she was like, that's awesome. That my boss. And she's like, that's awesome. And then, you know, I sold my car the next day.
No way.
Sold my car. That was my money to move up here. Sold my car for $3,000. A little blue 08 Honda Civic.
Wow. I have a Honda Civic.
I know.
It's 09.
It's a good little car.
Yeah. Economical.
It's reliable.
20 bucks fills up the tank.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, not in Florida. It's like 35, 40.
Oh, Jesus. But,
so I sold my car. And my buddy Taylor was like, dude, come move up here with me. He was in Groton, Connecticut at the time, which is a lot further from the city than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Should have done a little more research.
Yeah, come up. I live in Rhode Island.
Yeah, come up. I live in Boston. So I move up and he was like, you can live with me for free. I was like, really? He was like, yeah, Navy pays for my housing. And I was like, oh, shit.
How far away from it is this from the city?
Oh, 2.5 hours.
Jesus.
And so I was like, all right, I'm doing it. So August 15th, I move up here. And I realize I'm sitting down the other day and I'm like, and I was looking at SNL 40 on my phone. I was looking at SNL 40 on my phone and I was like, oh, February 15th. And I was like, I moved up on August. I was like 6 months to the day from SNL 40. I moved to New York to pursue it.
Wow.
So that's the only reason I know the date. But so I move up and, I live with him for like 2 months. I'm commuting back and forth to the city.
City.
Oh my God. I'm taking.
Doing what?
I'm taking the Shoreline East, which is like the Connecticut local train,
mm-hmm.
to the Metro North.
Right.
So like a two and a half, 2 hours, 45 minute train ride.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was only like, at first I was taking Amtrak's, which was retarded. Yep. I was taking like $75 each way Amtrak's. And then, like, I found out the Shoreline East, the Metro North is like $30.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. and so, like, I was really lonely out in Connecticut because I would be, like, in this apartment in like the middle of nowhere, and he would be out to like sea for like 2-3 weeks at a time. It would just be me, and I didn't even have a car. Like, I was basically stranded. I got a job my first day in Connecticut at this like Japanese steakhouse,
right?
And I quit like 4 days later because they told me I had to shave my head. So what? I was like, oh, I'm gonna shave my head. Yeah, fuck you, I quit.
No way.
And so
why?
Because
hair wouldn't get in the food or whatever.
No, because they said I didn't look professional. I was like, this is a Japanese steakhouse in Groton, Connecticut. How dare you?
So how often were you going into the city at that point?
I was taking Sketch 101 at UCB. So right. I was going in at least once a week. And I was also looking for jobs there and apartments.
Right.
So it took me until I moved in, 2 months exactly after that. No, not 2 months.
Into
3 months.
Into Bushwick, where you are now?
Yeah, yeah. I moved in November 15th.
Of 2015.
15, yeah. Which was exactly, so 6 months I moved to Groton, and 3 months after I moved to Bushwick. And so
it's almost been a year, and it's been like nine months.
Yeah. And so
how was moving into Bushwick? What is Bushwick like?
Sucks. I hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just a bunch of hipsters.
Well, yeah.
And like large Hispanic families, and the place is gross. And like, I thought about this the other day, and I was like, I love these people who talk about New York City. Like, oh, such a great city.
Bushwick
and I
is
was
in
like,
New York City.
And well, yeah, well, like New York City, oh, it's such a great city. I was like, yeah, it's flowing with like creativity and whatnot, but it's kind of like, how much creativity can you eke out of a pile of garbage?
Right.
That's like what I think New York City is, basically.
It is. Well, just a big litter.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Piece of litter.
Yeah. So I moved to Bushwick, and then like, it took me a while to find a job. Like, it was tough, and like, I wasn't hitting it hard enough. And like, at this point, my dad's paying for me, like, to stay up here. My dad easily forked over like $2,000 to help me stay up here, which was a lifesaver. If he didn't, I wouldn't fucking be here. But
So how soon did you find a job?
It took me like 2 months to find a job because
what were you doing?
I wasn't looking hard enough. And then one day I was like, are you going to fucking do this or not? Like, you're going to be the guy that says you're going to do things? That's like, anytime I do something, I think about that. Like, you're going to be the guy that says you're going to do it, or are you going to fucking do it?
Wow.
And so I started applying to like 800 or 900 ads on Craigslist a day for jobs. And then like immediately after I got a job at like,
whoa,
as a food runner at this place called Little Park in Tribeca, which is like a fine dining place. And I was miserable there, and I wasn't making any money because I was only getting like 3 shifts a week. So I was making like $200 a week. And I was like, well, this isn't going to be enough. And so I was applying to other jobs. And that's when I got the bartending job at Woji's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got it perfectly by chance because my boss is like, oh, you're from Florida. You're really laid back. He's like, New York people are too uptight.
Right.
He's like, and plus you don't have bartending experience. I want to train you like my way.
Wow.
And like, make great money there. Like, it's really good. Like, I don't love bartending because like, I just get really sick of drunk people. Just so sick of drunk people.
I couldn't imagine.
But it'll make you never want to drink again. But it's good money.
That's good.
It pays for like me to be able to do what I need to do.
Right.
And so, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I stretched my arm.
So wait, you took Sketch 101. Did you wait till Sketch 101 was over till you took Improv 101?
I literally started 30 minutes after. So it's the last day of class of Sketch ended. And like, my mom was like, I was like, I'm going to have to move back home. And she was like, how much is an Improv 101 class? And I was like, it's $400. And she was like, all right, here's $400. If you don't get a job by the end of this Improv 101 class, you got to come home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, this is it. And so I just hit it with everything I had. That Little Park job like saved me from having to going home because I had a job. Like, I had money coming in. Like, my parents were still helping me out, but I had money coming in. And then like, once I got the Woji's job, I'm good. I don't need any help anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
That's that good. Yeah.
So
were you just taking the UCB classes at first?
At first, yeah, I was taking UCB classes. I was like writing Sketch. I was attempting to do stand-up, but just didn't really have any like actual open mics to go to.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like rooms in a basement in front of one person.
Dude,
and I was like, this
open
is
mics
really weird.
Everywhere.
No, there were, but like, I didn't know about them yet.
Right, right.
So like,
right.
I had to figure everything else
right,
on my
right.
own.
How was just the, like,
You just uprooted.
Yeah, I just moved like from Florida to New York City.
What the fuck am I doing here?
Myself.
Were you ever walking around Bushwick just being like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Oh, yeah. If I didn't have podcasts, I don't think I would have made it.
Yeah.
Like, podcasts saved my I got really deep into like Pete Holmes. Like, yeah. We Made It Weird while I was in Connecticut. Yeah. Oh, I love it. And like, got deep into The Nerdist also.
Mm-hmm.
And like, podcasts saved my sanity. Like, because it's like, it would replace having to talk to people.
Yes.
That's why I love podcasts.
I don't know if you listened to the one where my friend Mustafa interviewed me, but that was the same thing for me. Yep. I said, right after college, I felt like I wasn't a part of anything and everyone was off on their own doing thing. And that's when I got into podcasts.
The thing I related to most about that was when you were like, everyone's so boring, but these people I hear on podcasts are so interesting. And I was like, oh my God, that's so true. Like, you don't meet interesting people that often. Like, like, it's funny,
and
though,
if you
because,
do, how much can you just sit down with them for an hour and actually have a conversation with them?
You can't. Like, and that's what podcasts are great for, but, like, podcasts saved my sanity. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, my God. If I didn't have podcasts, I don't know what the hell I would have done. But, like, yeah, so, like, I finally got a job. I got the job at Woji's in March.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got Little Park in, like, January, like, late January, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then, like, lasted until March, and then, like, went over to Woji's. But then, like, I don't remember exactly when this happened. Like, so, like, I'm doing UCB. I'm doing, like, trying to do, like, sketches with friends and stuff. But, like, everyone's so goddamn unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to do like modeling also because I just needed like make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Cloth modeling.
Yeah.
No
one wanted to see the end of your meat.
Yeah.
Trying to make ends meet. I tried to do modeling too, and I got a manager, and then he was like, I'll call you.
A manager?
I got a talent manager at something called, like, I think Rodriguez Model. If you're listening to this, fuck you. He's like, the way it works is it's a freelance type thing where you can still try to acquire work from other people. But if you acquire it through me, then you get 10%. I was like, great. He was like, there's usually pretty steady auditions, and so I'll get some work for you. And I was like, that's awesome. Last time I ever heard from him. I hit him back up, emailed him like a few weeks later. I was like, hey, I hope I'm still in your radar. And he was like, yeah, sometimes it takes this long or something like that. And I was
All right, thanks for the help, buddy.
Yeah. And then I got another manager like months later because I was like, fuck, now I have to do this whole process over again of sending hundreds and hundreds of mails. And got another manager. Same thing happened. Fucking terrible.
I was doing it on my own.
What do you mean?
Like, not with a manager or anything.
Yeah.
I was just, like, going to auditions.
How? Just, like, open calls?
Just, like, like, open calls.
I should do that.
Nah, don't. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But, so, like...
The worst.
So, and then, like, I started writing my own web series because I was bored.
Right.
And then, like, I also... what else did I do? So, I was into, like, acting also.
So when did this musical theater thing happen?
Yeah, this was kind of, like... Okay, so for some... Like, one day, I had, like, two straight days off in a row from work, and I'm just, like, I'm sitting on my bed, I'm looking at my phone, and, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't remember what set this off, but I do remember specifically what it was that got me into musical theater. For some reason I Googled, I was like, what are the best live musical performances of all time? And then there's a site called like Mojo. They do like top 10 lists.
Right.
That's all they do like for everything. And they have like a ton of videos on YouTube and they have like millions of hits on all of them.
Uh-huh.
And it was like top 10 musical performances. And the number one performance was Queen live at Live Aid in 1985.
Right.
And it's at Wembley Stadium.
It's
and
funny
it's
that it's
absolutely
called Live
packed.
Aid because Freddie Mercury died of AIDS. Sorry.
You son of a bitch.
It's true, though.
Don't you ever talk about that.
You ever heard the song Show Must Go On?
Show Must Go On, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yes. Great song.
It's about how the show must go on, even though he has
AIDS.
Like, and
right
he's
before
dying.
He died.
Yeah, he recorded that in one take while he was dying, pretty much. Took a shot of whiskey beforehand and said, let's fucking do it, darling. Matt got it in one take.
Yes. So I got really, really into Queen. Like, just way too into Queen. Like, I love Queen. Queen's my favorite band ever by far.
What? And I like Queen, but I mean, he is the best.
Freddie is just otherworldly.
Best rock singer.
Okay, it's like not even close. Like that. It's like some guy at the bar the other day asked me, he's like, "Well, who do you think is better, Freddie Mercury or Robert Plant?" And I was like, right. "Those are two totally different things." And mm-hmm. I was like, "But I'd say Freddie Mercury." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Well, Robert Plant was more of like an electric stage presence." And I was like, "Are you out of your mind?
Yeah,
there is no one more electric than Freddie Mercury." And like, I just loved how he had the crowd going. He like commanded 80,000 people, yeah. like all at the same time, like jumping up and down mm-hmm. in unison, doing this stupid clap thing for mm-hmm. Radio Gaga. And at that point, I was like, I just was like, I got to chase that feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to sing in front of people. Oh, like, I was always like a decent singer.
The hardest thing.
But like, I didn't know like how good of a voice I have for potential. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not great yet, obviously, because mm-hmm. I've only been singing since. As soon as I like, within a few weeks of watching that, I like reached out to a friend of mine. It was an Improv 101, mm-hmm. Alan. His friend Marnie played Christine Daae in Phantom of the Opera.
Which on is Broadway?
Girl, yeah. And he was like, "Oh, I'll ask her about like a singing coach." And she recommended my voice coach, Andrew Jost, who's also in Phantom. And
no way.
Yeah. And so like I started going to him, and like I
you practiced. Anyone can just go to him?
Yeah, if you pay.
Yeah.
If you pay per hour. And so like so I started singing, and I started doing singing lessons, and I practiced every single night since.
Yeah.
Like practice for an hour every single night since. And my voice has gotten like exponentially better.
Yeah.
Like he's even said like it's been crazy to watch.
How fast the
improvement. Yeah. Like he's like, because you never see this. Like,
yeah.
And so I've just been putting in work, and like, I love it. And so he was like, "You know, you should come to my musical theater school." And I was like, "Yeah, I'd love to." Like I was going to ask him about it like down the road,
yeah.
but he was like, "Yeah, you should come." He's like, "It would be great for you." And I was like, "Will I be your worst singer?" And he was like, "You won't be the worst. You'll just be the least experienced." And I was like, "All right."
Yeah.
And then so I was like, "All right, well, I guess I'll do it." And then like I brought my mom, and I went huge on my like Mother's and Father's Day gifts this year.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I spent like, so for my mom, I got her plane ticket up here.
Thanks for keeping me alive.
But well, I had to go. Like, I owe it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I got her a plane ticket up here, hotel room, Red Sox Yankees tickets, Phantom of the Opera tickets.
Whoa.
Yeah. And we went backstage for Phantom of the Opera.
Whoa.
Yeah. And my girlfriend also came because that was a Mother's Day weekend.
You got backstage because of your coach?
Yeah, because my coach. And then that's like when I really fell in love with it. And I was like, "Oh, I can fucking do this." And he was like, "Yeah, you've got the lead man look." And like what a lot of people don't realize is like Broadway, a lot of that is like to be a lead man, you have to look like a lead man.
Yeah.
Can't just look like a regular guy.
And they're definitely in dire need of masculinity as well.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Oh, so you've heard.
Yeah.
so like that's when I really fell in love with it. It was when I went backstage and like, yeah, so I went big for Mother's and Father's
Day.
So
what
and
is
my dad? I got him a plane ticket up here, and we got tickets to Patriots Seahawks
right.
in New England.
Right.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Oh, it hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't happened yet.
Which game?
It's November 13th. It's a Sunday night game.
Which week?
It's like week 9.
Oh, so Brady will be back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. So wait, so what is this school? Is it like a
It's called the Institute for American Musical Theater. And so it's like a 2-year
program. You get like a degree?
Yeah. Well, not like a degree, you get like a certificate.
Right.
But like I don't really care about the certificate. I care about like getting
the training and
like
when do you start in the fall?
I start August 29th.
That's crazy, man.
3 weeks, I think. Yeah. I'm very excited, but like I don't
It's crazy. You just moved up here and you just started singing. Now you're in the Institute of American Musical Theater or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like a good school.
Yeah. Yeah.
that the guy, it's his school?
Yeah, he's one of the founders.
Wow. Yeah. So what does it entail? Are you just learning or
it entails like I'm going to be doing ballet,
yeah.
Jazz, tap, singing, like learning about music, like everything.
Yeah. Acting too?
Yeah, acting too.
So like to like voice and speech,
yes.
and physical whatever it's called, movement,
all of that good stuff. But like I realized like I was going to be in this photo shoot of like of like for the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And like I realized, like I was looking through the Facebook group and I was like, and like I'm looking at it and I was like, I wonder why I'm in this photo shoot. And then I like scroll through and I was like, they're like mostly like they look like all the guys look like kids.
Right.
Like that's why. He was like, oh, okay, I need like a more of a masculine look.
Right.
And then like, so I mean the photo shoot fell through because of because of reasons. But
when is that is it gonna happen?
It'll probably just get done next week. But like,
so what is the photo shoot for?
It's just for like ads, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what it's for, but it's for that. And so like the text we get is like, everybody discuss outfits, go. Mm-hmm. And then it was like,
what does that mean?
I can read it to you if you want.
What do you mean? What does it mean discuss outfits?
It's like discuss what the attire will be for the photo shoot.
Okay.
And then the guys, it was like tight black pants, jazz shoes, and we'll figure out your tops. And I was like, I wanted to be like, raise my hand, but I can't
through text.
So I put like the hand emoji, like the high five emoji.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I don't own any of those things.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, you'll have to get them. You'll have to get ballet shoes, jazz shoes, tap shoes. And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it's going to be no joke. And it's going to be Monday through Friday, 10 to 5.
Yep.
And bartending 5 nights a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready. I'm excited because I know that I'll outwork everyone there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if I'm not going to, then why even go?
Right.
Like, that's kind of like the mentality I've adopted. Like, the don't say you're about it, be about it.
Right. I should definitely adopt that a little bit more because I'm sometimes get a little stagnant with the things
I want. It's tough though. But the funny thing about New York is like you'll meet like a lot of these people who are like 30 and like, yeah, man, I got a ton of time. And I just think to myself, like, if I'm in your situation at 30, I'll fucking kill myself.
My deadline has gotten pushed back so far. I was like,
when my deadline is 25. Yeah. That's it.
When I first got out of college, I was like,
we're dead.
Yeah. I was like, if I don't have representation by the end of the summer, and I was, it's been like, if I don't have at least one. Credit by the end.
Yeah,
of
two. If I don't have an IMDb page,
so stupid.
Yeah, but like, so musical theater and still like gonna be sticking to improv. Mm-hmm. And like,
why do you like taking improv? What do you like about it?
I love improv. Mm-hmm. Because I've always liked comedy. Like, mm-hmm. But I never actually thought about
that's
doing
where
improv.
We met, by the way.
Yeah, improv 301.
We're in the same improv 301 class at UCB. I'll probably say that in the introduction. But
oh, okay.
Didn't even need to say that. By the way, this is Cameron Shapiro. I usually introduce everyone.
Definitely introduce me. 58
minutes in. Yeah.
Are we 58 in?
Yeah, we're almost
Holy
done.
Shit. Wow.
We're almost done. So, but yeah, we're now at you're gonna.
Well, I feel like I've just explained myself.
That's what the whole thing is.
Oh,
explain yourself.
We're not shooting the shit at all. I'm just explaining myself.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So, and then so. I couldn't imagine. I think I'm probably going to try to go back to school now too, but like, how do you think you'll be fine since it's something you like to do?
Yeah, it's going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And like my biggest worry as of right now is when can I go to the gym? It's like, I'm not going to miss the gym.
Yeah.
I'll just have to sacrifice sleep for it.
Wow.
And like my biggest issue is I'm a really heavy sleeper, so it's tough. I sleep through like hundreds of alarms.
Wow. You'll probably stay in shape though from like
Oh, dancing. No, I will. I'm not worried, but like I don't want to be like this like lean dancer.
Yeah.
I don't want to be Patrick Swayze in Dirty and yeah,
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. Well, for some reason I was thinking Roadhouse.
Well, man, we always end for hopes for the future.
Hopes for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Could be personal, professional. You said a lot of things that you
want. Yeah, I was going to say.
Want to be a performer? Want to be in comedy?
Yeah.
Want to be a movie star?
I want, yeah. Well, like, to people like, oh, you should never say you want to be a movie star.
Why not?
But I was like, fuck that. I'm going to be a movie star. Well, like, like I don't know. Like,
odds are you're not going to be a movie star. It's okay to say you want to be
no,
a movie
I will
star.
Be.
Okay.
No, I'm not worried.
Well, God, man. There's a lot of people out there who want to be acting who aren't.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who, like, no one's willing to put the work in. That mm-hmm. you, like, I'm willing to put the work in because, like, if not, why would I sell my car and move across the country just to like that was my biggest thing. I don't want to live life with a regret.
Right.
It's like, what could have been, you know? And so I'm here and I'm going to give everything I've got. Like, I'm throwing literally everything I've got at it, and I'm going to be practicing every single day. I've started writing jokes more. But also, like, my only thing I've got to worry about is just spreading myself too thin, because I'm writing sketch, I'm writing jokes, I'm doing improv, I'm writing a web series, I'm going to be going to musical theater school, I'm going to be bartending, going to the gym every day, and like a few other
things. Fucking girls.
My girlfriend will love that.
Oh yeah, you have a girlfriend. She's still in Florida?
Yeah.
Wow.
For the next year, she's a teacher.
How's that?
Well, long distance. Find out.
It's hard.
It sucks, but
yeah.
Yeah, like during like oh yeah, I took a video of her show.
I know.
Yeah.
I gotta see the rest of that.
But like, there was a scene. What was the scene when I was like, saw, dude?
Yeah.
And Evan told me after, he's like, oh Jesus, Cameron went rogue. Next thing you know, he's gonna tell people he fucks girls.
What's the thing you said that I mentioned? A nuck chuck?
Chuck and Nucks.
What is that?
Oh, it's from this podcast I listen to called, do you know what Barstool is?
Yeah, of course.
It's from Pardon My Take, which is like Big Cat and PFT.
Right.
They had this guy, Ryan Whitney, who used to play in the NHL. He's from Boston. Right. He's from Scituate, Mass.
Right.
And like they have this place called The Spit, which is like a sandbar out of like, I don't know how far out from the beach it is, but right. like people go there to drink and fight.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, have you ever been out there? He's like, no, no, no. He's like, well, what do you do out there? He's like, you gas beers and chuck nucks. Like, and that's like been like a famous phrase now. Like, I got a shirt.
Chuck.
Like, funny enough, I got a shirt that says, like, I ordered the shirt. It says gas and beers and Chuck and Nucks.
Yeah.
And so, like, PFT, like, 4th of July, I'm working in West Village and it's dead. And like, this guy walks in, he's got long hair, he's got a Hakeem Olajuwon jersey on, and he's wearing like the Chef Curry's, no, stupid shoes.
Yeah.
And he was like, can we just sit wherever? And I was kind of like stunned. I was like, is that PFT? And like, I could tell by his voice. I couldn't tell because I didn't hear his voice enough yet. So he goes and sits down outside, and I was like, hey guys, you know, welcome to Woji's. Can I get you anything?
Yeah.
And then he's like, and he starts talking, and I was like, PFT? He's like, yeah, man, can I get a picture of your shirt to send to the guys? And then he like tweeted it later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He was like, that's so weird that like of all the places we walk into, you were wearing a shirt from our podcast.
That's funny.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like saying, I love that term, Chuck and Nucks.
Chuck and Nucks. What does it even mean?
Fighting.
No.
Chuck and Knuckles.
Right. I thought it meant like throwing.
Knuckles. Well, you throwing knucks.
Yeah, throw punches.
Yeah. Throwing punches.
Well, Cameron, I'm glad you made the trip down from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Old Bushwick.
I'm happy you were in my UCB 301 class.
Oh, I didn't. What was my hopes? Did I say my hopes?
We know. Movie star, baby.
Movie. Well, I would also like to be on Broadway.
Yeah.
Like, SNL is like my ultimate goal, but I don't really think SNL is what it used to be.
Mm. Like, did you hear Taron Killam and Jay Farrow just departed?
Yeah. And Keenan's not coming back either.
Keenan's for sure not?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe. So
us?
Got to start getting in front of some crowds if we want that to happen.
But yeah, so SNL was like my ultimate goal. But, like, that's and it so still hard. Would be, but like, I don't think it's gonna happen. Nor
I've never had that as a goal because, like, it's like wanting to.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you make your goals hard?
That's true. Because then when you get it, you're like, wow, I never thought that was gonna happen. But it's just like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to go through life just like setting really low expectations.
And I'm not like
Vince Vaughn. I'm not like a
big character impression person.
Oh, I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah,
but yeah, like. I don't know. But that's like the Don't Think Twice movie is like, who said that? That Apatow said like that was basically his life because Adam Sandler was his roommate.
Mm-hmm.
So he like got SNL and then like, Apatow was like, I'm done with stand-up because obviously I'm not the one who's meant for this.
Yeah.
Like, because he said to Sandler, he's like, you don't do voices or impressions.
Yeah, you don't do characters? You
yeah.
Do
impressions. And he's like, so I guess I got the show. Yeah, but Broadway, movies.
Yeah, Judd Apatow is just like...
I just want to be like a Renaissance man.
Mm.
That would be my ultimate goal.
Well, man, the best luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing this.
No problem.
All right, that is it. Thank you to Cameron. Thank you to everyone who's listened. I appreciate it. I say this all the time. I promise. I'm hoping so badly that my next week episode, my next week's episode, I can't speak. I'm so tired. I hope that my next week's episode is with a female, with someone who is of the female gender, because it's been too long. I have some ideas. I hope I can get who I'm thinking of. If not, I'm sorry. I'm gonna try. But thank you to everyone who's listened. Please like the Facebook page, That Millennial Life. Follow the Twitter, That Mill Life, at That Mill Life. You can check out our website, thatmillenniallife.com. Follow or subscribe on iTunes. Leave a rating or a review or a comment or whatever that is. Helps the show. I'm a terrible salesman. Have a good week. Be confident in yourself and your abilities. And I'll try to do the same.